Previously, on Royal Table Talk.
Mr. I don't even know what to call you. What would you like for me to call you?
You can call me Alton, or you can call me Slim Bad.
All right. Well, I'm gonna call you Slim Bad for this case, right? Just for the old sake. What is the highlight of your life today?
Valuing freedom.
If you can tell your younger self something, what would you tell him?
My younger self would have told me to not be so quick to do things. Not be so quick to act. Don't be so sporadic.
You can leave a message for a young man heading on that trail. What would you tell him that could save his life?
Pay attention. Pay close attention to the people that's around you.
Welcome back to part two of our Slim Bad episode. My name is Latoya Conway Hampton, and I am your host. And I kind of want to guide us to a different area of this process. So I do know that you spent almost 40 years of your precious life in a mental institution. And that mental institution is jail. It's a correctional facility. It's meant to correct our behaviors and all those things that is originally meant for, but it does totally the opposite. So you also shared a little bit earlier that you had four beautiful children and a grandpa, right? And a great-grandpa?
Grandfather.
Oh, grandfather. Well, guess what? I got 22 grandkids. And I told them, don't make me no grandma. I'm too cute to be a great-grandma.
I know that's right. Well, God bless you.
Yeah. This was amazing, Slim, to be able to talk to you and really hear your story. Because as you mentioned in the earlier episode, you talked about how people seen you and how people thought, oh, he got this. And that's how it is, because they couldn't do it. So they was like, oh, Slim Bad could do it. Slim Bad could do it. Because they all wasn't able to do it. So, you know, they go get you and then you'll handle their dirty work. And then they get to keep their hands clean, which is not fair. And so now I want to talk a little bit about that 40 years of institution.
Right.
Whew. Let me tell you, I got arrested. I've been arrested twice. The first time I got arrested, I was so pissed off at the sheriff because I got up to go put my tray in the trash because, you know, I'm trying to clean up around myself. He was like, sit down. I said, sit down. And I said something. He called me an asshole. I was like, what? All I'm trying to do is clean up. And then the girl was like, just sit down. That was the first time. And then the second time, I couldn't understand how demoralizing they treat you when you're incarcerated. I had no clue. So the second time when I got arrested, I was standing in the line to go to court and I bend over to tie my shoe and one of the female sheriffs was walking down the aisle. She said, stand up straight. I said, I'm tying my shoe. I said, stand up now. I was like, see, I can't do this. It was so, and that's simple to me. That was so simple. So it allowed me and it forced me to keep my head straight. Because I don't want y'all telling me what to do. I don't want that. Because they have no respect for human beings. A lot of them. Some of them are good. I have a few nice cop friends. I got a few nice cop judge friends. But and probation officers and parole officers. I got a few friends in those industries that are really decent and care about their work. But then you get people about power and control. And when you're there, they treat you like an animal. What was the moment where, because for 40 years, you had to get to a place of surrender. What was that like for you? And you was like, well, dang, I'm going to be here for a while. I just might as well do the right thing. Because when you first get there, you rebel. At what point did you start doing the right thing?
Well, that came, you know, on this last, you know, when I had the feds. This is in my federal prison. Because you got to realize, you know, I've been recidivating, you know, all those years, it was a point where, you know, you don't see, once a person gets to a point where jail, going to jail or losing his freedom, once you get that in your mind, like, man, you know, jail is just another part of the, you know, once you start taking up on that mentality, then it's not nothing to keep you away from jail. Yeah, we all don't want to get caught. We all don't want to. Don't nobody want to go to jail. But once we get there, once you have that type of mindset, you know, and that jail ain't nothing, then it's going to be what it's going to be, because, you know, we tend to realize, well, maybe I can't spend a week, because I'm generalizing, but I'll just say me, let me speak for me. You know, it came a point, it wasn't a thing. And once I took upon that mentality, then, you know, once I get in there, it's going to be what it's going to be, because, and this thing stimulates, it generates all the way back from 1981. We talk about juvenile hall. See, it's different for a young lady, you know what I mean? But for me, going in juvenile hall, you got to realize, you know, we come out in that day room, or we got to stand in front of our door, it's always somebody talking about, hey, you know, where you from? You feel what I'm saying? You heard that Kendrick Lamar, you know what I mean? Where you from? Or Hong Bang? Well, where your grandmama stay at? You see what I'm saying? Yeah, all that, you see what I'm saying? So when you come up on that, you really from somewhere and you gonna represent this thing, then, you know, going to jail, it ain't nothing, because, you know, the same thing you just left from on the street, which is, you know what I mean, you know, guerrilla tactics and warfare, you know, it's the same thing you gonna have to deal with when you're in jail. So to answer your question, when I came to a point to actually get my life together, I was in state prison and I was walking around the track one day. And the same thing I just told you a few minutes ago, I'm going to reiterate it and tell you again. I realized that I love 5-9 East Coast more than I love my kids. You see what I'm saying? Mm. Because as a black man, as a father, if I really loved them like I say I would, my behind would have been on the streets, providing for them, taking care of them, doing what I got to do, you know what I mean, to look out for them. But where was I at? Walking around the track. And that's when it really hit me. Like, damn, boy, you say you love them. You know what I mean? But look where you at. Look what your actions is. So if your actions, and that goes back to this, if your actions are not in alignment with what you saying out your mouth, then, you know, what's really going on right here? And I told myself, you know what? When I get out, and I got out on January 3rd, 2009, and I told myself, you know what I mean? Man, I'm finna really stay out here on these streets. I'm finna get out here, and I'm finna do what I gotta do. I'm finna be paroled. You know what I mean? And I got off parole in 2 years. I actually stayed out, you know what I mean, and did the right thing. Didn't run the streets, didn't stay out all night. Didn't, you know what I mean? When I did go to the hood, you know what I mean? My other half, you know what I mean? She was with me. You know what I mean? And, you know, I actually did it. But that's when it came to hit me, like, man, you done did a real, real significant portion of your life, you know what I mean? Yeah. Incarcerated. You know what I mean? And so, you know, that's when it hit me.
When you talk about 40 years, that's a long time.
Yeah, I mean, going back and forth to jail, you know, you got to realize shit, camp, YA, juvenile hall, prison, you know what I mean? And then the feds.
And so I know you was married and you had a woman that really loved you. And what was that turning point? Because I have a son who swear he's 5-9 East Coast Crip. It kills me. Because he ain't been there since he was about 3 or 4 years old. And now he's 31 and he's in and out of jail right now. And what this reminds me of is he's always calling home to her, telling his girlfriend who she can't have over, what she can't do. And I'm saying, you can't do that. You locked up. She not locked up. How was that for you having a relationship where you were in, as one of my other guests call it, a concrete casket? You in that concrete casket and your wife is out in the world. How was that for you?
Cage.
And your mental,
you're living in a cage. Living in a cage. It's like seeing yourself, how you said you was an animal. That's a cage. You know what I mean? And being incarcerated in that little small cell with another man, you know what I mean, with that little toilet bowl up in there, you know what I mean? When you look around at them four walls, you know what I mean? And look out that little small little window. You know what I mean? You actually in the cage. You can call it a cell. You can dress it up however you want to. But in reality, you know what I mean? You're dwelling in the cage. You see what I'm saying? And so as an animal, you know, I'm a human being. I'm a black man. Ain't no way, you know what I mean? It got to be better than this. You feel what I'm saying? And so when you look at your surroundings, you got to be like, you know what I mean? Like, no, I got to do better than this.
My son is constantly, Mama, when I get out, when I get out, when I get out, when I get out. And, you know, as a mother with a son in and out of jail, it's really hard for me because I haven't went to go see him. He's not that far from me. But I told him, if you want to see me, stay on the streets. I bailed him out one time. I got him an attorney. And the attorney got him out. Because at that point, he was innocent. I felt like they were trying to give him 52 years. He's not going to go. He's innocent. But if you in trouble, I can't help you. That's, you know. What do you feel about that? How was supportive were your family for you?
Well, you know, when you've been going in and out of jail, there's a point, there's a time when, you know, mama may be there, grandmama going to be there. You may even have a few of your comrades, you know what I mean, and good homies. Put a little money on your books and all that. But when you repeatedly, you feel what I'm saying, get out and act like you can't function in society, them people get tired. Them women get tired. You know what I mean? They're coming to see you standing in them lines at the county jail. You know what I mean? The people get tired of giving you going to work every day, getting up, going to work. You know what I mean? Putting their money on your books. You feel what I'm saying? Then you got, you know, a lot of people feel like, well, look, man, you just seem like you don't want to be out here. You feel what I'm saying? And don't make me feel bad. Like, I'm not doing nothing for you. You left me. See, when you got your kids and you got your significant other and you got your family, sometimes, you know, it ain't just, oh, I went to jail. Well, they be like, well, how you going to be mad at me? You left me. I ain't leave you. You left the streets because you was in a set. You was in the car with that tool. Or you was doing whatever it is you was doing out here. But the decisions and the choices that you made caused you to be incarcerated. You left us. We ain't leave you. So, you know what I mean? How could you be mad? But behind the decisions and the choices that you make, and sometimes we don't want to look at that when we're on the other side.
How is it that as a man that spent a lot of time and now that you're out on the streets, I know you mentioned this freedom. You respect your freedom much better. Do you feel like a foreigner in the world?
No, I don't feel like no foreigner because these are things that, you know, I've always wanted. You know, to keep it all the way real with you, Latoya, I feel like I'm at a stage in my life where, you know, you got to look at all the Black people who came over to the United States under the bottom of them boats. You see what I'm saying? That bunk bed in prison, just imagine them people stacked up under that ship. You see what I'm saying? Like that. Now, my people, you feel what I'm saying? Our people, blood, sweat, and tears for what? Freedom. You feel what I'm saying? So who am Alton Sims? Who am I to get out here and throw mines away when all my people, you feel what I'm saying, struggled and did everything in their power just to be free? Why would I throw my freedom away? Why would I make choices and decisions to throw my freedom away when my people came up under here chained, in captivity under the bottom of them boats? You feel what I'm saying? So who am I, you feel what I'm saying, to be blasé or have a lackadaisical outlook about my freedom? No, that's the first thing we talked about when we had this interview, valuing freedom, being able to get up in the morning with nobody telling you what to do, walk outside, or do whatever it is I need to do. I need to value that. And when you don't value something, it's almost like jewelry, it's like money, it's like the gold chain. Anything that you don't place no value on, you blasé with it, you lackadaisical with it, and you'll do anything with it. You feel what I'm saying? But when you value something, like you value your car, like you value them rims, like you value your significant other, like you value that Rolex chain, like you see what I'm saying? All the things that you value, you take care of it. All I'm saying, I'm taking care of mine. Yeah, I'm taking care of mine. That's something that I don't play with. I don't have that lackadaisical attitude about it, but it has nothing to do with me. It just has something to do with me looking at my people. You feel what I'm saying? And I feel like I'm slapping them in the face. You see what I'm saying? With all the sacrifices they made when they came to this country, you feel what I'm saying? Under the bottom of that boat, you feel what I'm saying? To you know, fighting for freedom, fighting to be free. Fighting to be free. And then who am I to just throw my freedom away? Just y'all chill, put the handcuffs on me, lock me up, take me back. I'm not going. I ain't going.
Well, it sounds it sounds like that you're so passionate about how you get to live today. And
yeah, that's why I wrote that book. My book is called The Guide to Sustaining Your Freedom After Incarceration. I want to, the same way like you being an author, this is the same reason why I wrote that book. So all my peers, all the dudes who know me, all the people that got kids, you know what I mean, like you, that's incarcerated, here, learn from my example. I may not be able to get on a platform and speak to you or be your mentor or be your role model, but I definitely can relate
but
to
you. But your book will do that.
It's going to do
your
that.
Book will
that's
do
what
that.
I'm saying. And that's why I wrote, that's one of the three books that I wrote while I was incarcerated.
Good for you. And I will be honored once you send me the information to highlight it on my platform. It's very small, but it's my platform.
And no question.
But I would be honored to highlight that because we come from a dark place, but we get right. to bring the light. We get
Ain't
to
no
bring
question.
The light.
Ain't no you question. Know? That's what it's about. Each one uh-huh. teach one.
Yeah, bringing the light. And some people get irritated with the conversation or they don't want to talk about it. Tell them to flip the station, right? That don't bother me because I know what it feels like to live that lifestyle. I have two kids, father, that got killed in drive-bys. I have to raise two children that don't have a father. I have to tell them that it was a choice that I made. I chose to date these guys and now neither one of them are here. They're rejected from their families and all that stuff. So all they have is me, you know? Right. And it's not their fault, you know? And going through that mind game that I went through when the second one got killed and then when the last guy that I was with got shot, I just thought, okay, I must be jinx. Everybody I date end up dead, right? Actually, they had a little thing about it in the neighborhood. Man, she jinx. Don't mess with her. I think that I am blessed. I am blessed today because I get the honor to be that change that I needed. I get the honor to bring forward people like you to share your experience because 40 years in and out of jail is a long time, but it all started in our childhood. And if there is a way that we can partner and collaborate on any other platform about working with our children, I would be honored to do so. I have with this program that I got now expanding safety, it's important to me because people ask me, why would you hang out with gang members? They're violent, they this, they that. I was safer hanging out with all of you guys than I was in my own home.
No, I know that's right.
Right?
I know that's right.
You feel me? They don't understand. Why would you do that? Because I was safer with them than at home. They had my back. I remember this one.
I'm not to be in her business though, but where she from? Because she can't be, you know what I mean? You know, because you know, we everywhere. Yeah. We everywhere. It's somebody that's banging in every family.
It is.
And I could be.
It is. But when people.
LA, Compton, Watts, South Central, Inglewood, where you going to go? Who you know that they don't got nobody, not affiliated. You know what I mean? In their family.
But that's how we feel because that's been our environment. But there is actually quote unquote normal people somewhere.
She had to be a civilian to say something like that. You know what I mean? And not come from the cell.
What is normal, right?
Exactly.
What is normal?
Exactly. What is? You know what I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know what I mean? How could you hang with gangbangers? It's gangbangers. You know what I mean? Everywhere, but that don't make them bad people. We still human.
Yeah. And they don't see you like that. If I go do a big speech somewhere, it depends on where I am or what I'm talking about. I'll always go there because that's just my story. Right. And right. So at the end, they'll be saying, oh, my God, honey, were you scared? I was like, scared. They protected me. What you talking about?
Yeah, you better know it.
I remember when Satin got courted in at Edison High School.
Junior High.
Yeah, Edison Junior High School. I remember he got courted in the backboard. It was tearing him up. I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Yeah, and then with the girls, they was like, how many guys pulled a train on y'all? Like, y'all don't even know what's going on. This is craziness. You know, even though I had that to happen, I got gang raped by some gang members, but it wasn't my homeboys. It was somebody else, you know? So they people, they have no clue. They think it's a whole bunch of, say that
it's
again.
It's a lot of misconceptions. It's a lot of misconceptions, but you know, it's too many platforms where them other people is getting the information anyway, you know what I mean? And you know, it's like urban legends and myths and stuff like that. Sometimes you gotta let, you know what I mean, people stay sleeping, you know what I mean? Because you know, everything ain't for everybody. You see what I'm saying? So you got to leave them out there with that. You know what I mean?
Leave them alone.
Exactly. Leave them alone like that. You know what I mean?
Well, let me say this. I honor you. I am grateful that you chose to grace my platform with your experience, strength, and hope for our people. Thank you for watching again. This was Mr. Alton, also known as Slim Bad. You have a wonderful day.